Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Elena Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us, and 10% is what we make happen. Tonight we talk about how do we treat people in the working environment in a way that will increase their productivity and loyalty to the firm. My guest this evening is Judith Umlas, who is Senior Vice President at the International Institute for Learning and the publisher of International Institute of Learning Publishing Company. She is the project manager of the website Institute for International Learning, PM.com, and she's trained more than 20,000 professionals, including project managers, engineers, and executives. Judith Umlas is the author of The Power of Acknowledgement and has written articles for Working Woman, The New York Times, and the Chicago Tribune. And she has written a wonderful book entitled Grateful Leadership, Using the Power of Acknowledgement to Engage All Your People and Achieve Superior Results. It is a pleasure to welcome Judith Umlas to help us take charge of our lives on WDIY. Welcome, Judith.
Thank you so much, Ellie, and I am absolutely delighted to be here again. This is the second visit that we're having, and I'm just thrilled.
And we're thrilled to have you. What made you write? This, I believe, was your first book. Is that correct?
Grateful Leadership was the second book based on the response we got to The Power of Acknowledgement, the initial book. And I had such an enthusiastic response whenever I went to train people or when I led webinars on behalf of the International Institute for Learning. I even had one woman, you'll love this story, at the end of a webinar, she contacted me by email and she said, "Can you help me with my mother?" This is a business seminar. And I said, "Of course." And we did some, offline coaching, and it worked out great. So this is a holistic approach. But the second book, Grateful Leadership, really is for people who want to make the workplace a better place.
Yeah, and sometimes we forget that the workplace is where we spend most of our time during the day.
And, absolutely.
And we work very hard to do the best kind of job. And of course, the older we get, the more difficult it becomes because people worry about maintaining their jobs when, particularly when they reach their 50s. Do you find that to be true?
Well, you haven't asked me how old I am, but I'm quite a bit beyond that, and I don't worry about it for two reasons. One is I have an incredible company with a wonderful visionary leader whose name is E. Laverne Johnson, and I'm very fortunate to have worked with that company for 24 of its 25 years. And the second reason is that I am personally mission-driven. I'm passionate about what I do, and I know that my job is to repair the world. So that's going to take me a long time. I can't be fired from that.
Well, you know, but however, some people are not contractually employed,
yes.
and they are temporary workers, and they're holding on. So the question is, how can we improve the working environment so people feel encouraged to do their best and produce their best for themselves as well as the working place that they are involved with?
That's a great question and beautifully expressed. What it takes, Ellie, is a leader, and I define leader very loosely. You have leaders on all levels, and anyone can be a leader as long as they have a vision and a mission and the power to carry it out in some small or great way. And when that leader shows appreciation for their colleagues, for the people who report to them, for the people they report to, when they show appreciation, when they don't take things for granted, then people want to perform at the highest level that they possibly can. And you just can't stop them. They're the people who won't go home at 5 o'clock. You know, they turn the lights off 3 hours later. So I think, you know, just by showing appreciation and treating people as people. I have one of the grateful leaders profiled in the book who has meetings with all of his employees one-on-one at which they are not allowed to talk about work for an entire hour. And if you can imagine that, you know, having your boss's ear for an hour and all you can talk about is your family, your hopes, your dreams, your challenges, where you're going on your summer vacation, it's dizzying. So, you know, this is an example of grateful leadership that I really, you know, put forth as a way for us all to be. Big, you know, it doesn't have to all be that much of a schedule is the word I was looking for. It doesn't have to be a schedule, but we have to treat our people as people.
You know, and very many companies are interested in surpassing the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
And they look for people who are doing their work and, quote, unquote, producing.
Yes.
Above and beyond.
Right.
And the question is, that puts a certain pressure on people, and particularly those people who are not under contractual agreement with a company. In other words, they have temporary contracts. How do we encourage people with temporary contracts to perform, and how does the power of acknowledgement help them as well?
I think it is really across the board. You know, whether it's the washroom attendant, you know, who cleans the sinks in the bathroom, you know, letting that person know. And in fact, I have an example in my book of somebody who, during a webinar I was leading, said, I really need to acknowledge the washroom attendant because she inspires me every day when I come to work. Everything is so sparkling clean, and I see her working on it during the day, and I've never thanked her for it. So, you know, you can let anybody know that they create value, that they do something worthwhile. And those people, as you say, who are, you know, temporary rather than permanent, how permanent we all are is debatable, but, you know, the people who are coming in for a week or a month for a special project, if they are appreciated for what they do and the talents and skills that they bring, you know, they may feel so motivated that you will not be able to let them go. You'll have to say, I'm going to find a place for that person. That has happened so often in my company. So we are joyful when somebody we bring in on a temporary basis is really stepping up to the plate, and then we can say, all right, in the next 3 months, we're going to have an opening for you. So it works both ways.
So if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life, and my guest this evening is Judith Umless, who has written a very special book called Grateful Leadership, Using the Power of Acknowledgement to Engage All Your People and Achieve Superior Results. So this is a very important book, I think, for all, for people who are the owners or in charge of business, and as well as for people who are employed, to understand their role and their needs. And how can acknowledging people at work increase their productivity?
First of all, it's a two-way street. When we acknowledge somebody in a heartfelt and authentic way, and those are the two critical factors. It can't be manipulative. It can't be, I'm going to acknowledge them so they're going to work harder and perform better. But when you see something that really inspires you, about a person, the way they're loyal, the way they're so committed, the way they think outside the box, and you let them know about it, they just want to do better and do more and use their talents. And they're not afraid to fail. There's such a fear of failure in the workplace and in life. So it's a matter of feeling the confidence. When somebody expresses appreciation to you for what you're contributing, you're stepping out a little bit more and taking a few more risks after that. And our company, we value that tremendously. We have permission to fail.
Did you say permission or commission?
Permission.
Permission.
When we have a commission, we have permission.
Okay. So that in your company, you make it a policy to find ways to acknowledge people in the work environment.
Yes. And sometimes we forget. You know, it happens. It's a very human thing. That's why I created a little tool called the 5 C's of Acknowledgement. I mentioned this in your previous program, but just a quick summary, consciousness of the acknowledgments that are already swimming around our brains that we don't bother to deliver to people, choice, letting yourself know you don't have to deliver this acknowledgement, but it might be a good thing, then courage, because it takes courage to deliver a heartfelt acknowledgement. We feel very vulnerable when we let another person know how important they are to us. And, you know, maybe they're going to ask us for a raise, or maybe they're going to, you know, want to take days off in the middle of the week because, we acknowledge them. But that's not the case normally. Then communication, how we communicate it to them, can be by voicemail, email, face-to-face, Skype. There are 1,000 communication tools today. And then commitment, the 5th C, is, once you see how powerful it is to have a culture of appreciation, is what I call it, then you will be committed to making this practice part of everybody's day and just the environment they live in, the air they breathe is filled with acknowledgement and appreciation.
Well, if we had more of this concept of grateful leadership, everybody would be wanting to go to work more quickly and get there earlier. And we're going to talk more with Judith Umlas when we return to Take Charge of Your Life on WDIY.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
If you are a Golden Age folkie and love the music of Woody Guthrie, Bob Dylan, Judy Collins, Joan Baez, and the Kingston Trio, WDIY is the place to be on Monday nights. From 7 to 9 p.m. on folk classics, all of that great music from the late 1940s to the late 60s will fill the airwaves, and we will welcome your ideas about the artists and songs you'd like to hear. Folk classics, Mondays from 7 to 9 p.m. right here on WDIY.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Bobrow, your host. And this evening, we're talking with a very special person, Judith Umlas, who is a Senior Vice President at International Institute for Learning. And she is also a publisher of International Institute for Learning in New York. And she's written a very fine book called Grateful Leadership, Using the Power of Acknowledgement to Engage All Your People and Achieve Superior Results. Judith, let's talk about some difficult situations that may arise in the workplace.
Yes, and there are quite a few.
Quite a few. And how the use of how the use of power of acknowledgement can help to solve these problems and make the workplace a better place to be and more productive.
I'll give you one example of that, that a participant in one of my classes related after the class and after she put the power of acknowledgement and grateful leadership to work. There was a person who was on a team that she was supposed to lead, and as soon as she saw that person's name, she said, oh, no, I don't want to lead that team. I mean, he was that challenging a person, and the people on the team didn't want to be on the team either because this person was going to be there. So she had just taken my class and read the book, and she said, okay, there's got to be something more to this person than what I'm seeing, because he was so negative all the time. Whenever they would meet to discuss a project, he would find something terribly wrong, but not say, just say, that's not going to work. That's not going to work. So at one point, she said to him, Jim, what do you see that we're not seeing? What is there that's such a big risk that makes you say this project is going to fail? And he told something to them that was about 3 or 4 years out into the future, but their jaws dropped because he was so right on with what was going to be happening in their industry, and they knew it was happening, but they kind of, you know, back-burnered it. And so she started to ask him at their meetings, what do you see, when he would start grumbling and saying, that's not going to work, that's not going to work. And after a time, she said to him, as the project came to a close, she said, Jim, I want to tell you that you are a brilliant failure analyst.
Would you say that again? A brilliant?
A brilliant failure analyst.
A failure, okay.
Yeah, because he saw things that nobody else saw, and there was always validity to what he brought forth, at least to check out very seriously. And suddenly he became one of the most valued team members. And at the end of the project, he said to her, you know, no one ever listened to me before you. This is the first time anyone ever wanted to hear what I had to say. And I really have to thank you for listening to me and validating what I see. And it was just the most moving experience of her professional career. So I think the lesson for all of us is that even when somebody is not doing well or not performing up to our standards, we can look for something that they really are doing well and just start with that, focus on that, because they don't receive praise in general. And when they do, that's going to make them want to do more that's positive. So to me, that's just a very dramatic illustration of what we all can do as colleagues, as leaders, see what's of value in every single person around us. And, you know, obviously there are some cases where somebody just is waiting to be asked to leave, or, you know, they've had it with the job and they don't want to do anything further. You know, that's another story, but that's really not the majority of the cases.
So in this particular case that you just mentioned, this young man was motivated to do better in his work on the projects.
He was motivated to come forth and make himself heard in a way that wasn't so irritated. Yeah, he was doing better. He was communicating better because he was actually validated after the first couple of communications, and people were willing to hear him. So he stopped being so annoying and irritating. He would just say, you know, what I see is this, and we may want to look into it. And became more diplomatic in his, in his communication.
So by acknowledging him, he felt validated,
yes,
enough to make a more positive contribution.
Exactly.
And change his own delivery.
Yeah, yeah. And that made it, you know, very valuable to have him on future teams, too, was what I heard from this person. So, you know, it was long-lasting, not just a one-shot kind of a deal.
I want to ask another question about a problem in the workplace, and that is sometimes people in a workplace, an office or an environment, will find somebody to pick on. Either they notice a physical disability, or they notice a speech pattern. They notice something, and somehow or other, they begin to gang up and make life difficult. How can managers come in and intercede to create a more positive environment in this particular situation?
That's such an interesting question. It's kind of, I think you could call it corporate bullying. You know, it's what we hear about in the school.
Yes, corporate. That's a good word, corporate bullying.
Yeah,
yes.
And it's just as awful among adults as it is among kids. But I think it's up to the leaders, and actually it could be anybody, to validate the person for their contribution and to accept the differences. You know, we all have our differences, our issues, and people know mine. You know, I'll speak my mind no matter where I am, or sometimes I will get a kick under the table, but usually they welcome my being forthright and honest. So, our leader has had to intervene at times and say, Judy always tells what she sees. We have to accept that. And then people come to value it. So if somebody has a physical disability or a mental disability, it's up to a person in a position of responsibility to make it clear that their contribution is valued, if indeed it is. I mean, if they're not doing their job, they shouldn't be treated differently or specially, but unless there are accommodations that are needed, that's a different story. But, they have to be held to the same high standard that everyone else is. But the leader has to model the behavior of that person, even if they have, let's say a speech impediment, and people are, rolling their eyes. The leader has to say that contribution is really appreciated. What you said is very important. And then to, let others know, they better not do that kind of eye rolling.
So it's up to management, is what you're saying. Is it up to management to intervene, to make a change in the environment?
Yes. And remember, I'm a believer that there's leadership at all levels, management at all levels. So it could be, it could be the office manager who sees something going on like that, and either he or she handles it directly with the team, or goes, if necessary, to a higher level manager and says, this is not acceptable. I don't like what I'm seeing. Could you intervene? So it's up to everybody to keep their eyes open for the negativity, but to also for us to be modeling the positivity, if you will, the gratitude, the appreciation. And, in two of my three books, I talk about the work of Dr. Bob Emmons, who is the premier scientist of the gratitude phenomenon and how it affects people's health, well-being, their actual physical states. And he's done all kinds of scientific experiments on this. And, we can all benefit by practicing gratitude and appreciation. Positive hormones are released when we acknowledge others for them and for us. And that's the beauty of it. It's not just a one-way street.
So that when we acknowledge someone, we also get some feedback as well. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, we get biological feedback, oxytocin and serotonin, all the the good feeling or feel-good chemicals are released in our bodies. And even watching somebody else acknowledge another person releases those hormones in us. So it's very far-reaching.
So what we need to do is understand that each of us bears a responsibility for
Yes.
creating a positive environment in the workplace so that we have a positive impact on one another.
Thank you. That is absolutely correctly expressed from my perspective. And one thing I just want to add, I was teaching a course a while ago, and I asked people when was the last time they were acknowledged and when was the last time they acknowledged somebody else. And I gave them, like, you know, within the past week, month, year, or not at all. And, I'll never forget on the question, when were you acknowledged, and I said, not at all. A hand went up. I was in Finland. I was in a huge power company doing training in Finland. And a woman raised her hand for not at all. And people literally got out of their seats. There were about 50 project managers in that room. They got out of their seats. They went up to her and they said, what do you mean you were not acknowledged? You're the best person who ever had this job, whoever did this job. You're fantastic. And she started to sob. And she said, I wish you had told me this before because I am leaving in 2 weeks. And this is something that I hear so many of these stories about people quitting. And in fact, when I did a survey one time in a company, I did my two questions about acknowledgement. Somebody said, you're leaving out a very important question to ask. And I said, what's that? And I said, how many of you have ever left a job due to lack of appreciation? And I shrugged and I said, okay, I'll ask it. How many of you ever left a job due to lack of appreciation in your career? Out of the 40 people in that room, 38 hands went up. And Ellie, I have been using that question in all of my training sessions, and sometimes I'll have 1,000 people in them, or sometimes it's just 100. But all the time, it's a vast majority of the hands go up.
I want to thank you, Judith Umlas, who is the author of Grateful Leadership, for helping us to understand that we can make a positive impact on the workplace and we need the cooperation of all. I want to read a poem that you have in your book, The Grateful Leadership. In our lives, we see so many people in pain, in need, many of whom we cannot help, making us feel powerless, unable to make a difference, unable to have a meaningful impact on our world. But every day there are moments, special opportunities, when we can comfort one person, be a messenger of grace, bring a moment of peace, and when we help one another, person to person, we help the world, even for just a moment. And that was written by Joseph Fox, Brooklyn Chief of Police. And I want to thank you so much, Judith Umlas, for this book and for helping us to understand that we can create more meaningful relationships by gratefully acknowledging each other. Judith, how can people get in contact with you?
Two ways. One is to become members of the Center for Grateful Leadership. And all they have to do is go to gratefulleadership.com, and they will find it. And by joining, they get all kinds of benefits, and we'll be in touch. And my personal email address at IIL is judy.umlas@iil.com.
Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.